بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. When we look at the khutbah that is to be recited in just a few moments when the nikah is officiated, then there are three verses that are recited on that occasion, on this particular occasion. And when we look at what is the subject matter of these verses, two of the verses speak about the fear of Allah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih, ya ayyuhannasu taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidah. And the other verse, or the third verse, speaks about the fear of Allah, and it adds to it, waqulu qawlan sadida, and say an appropriate word. Now, what we always need to keep in mind is that nothing is coincidental. The fact that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had chosen these three verses to be recited on this occasion gives us a message. And the message that I'd like to draw from this is the importance of communication in a marriage. Communication in a marriage is the cornerstone of a successful marriage. Every marriage that you would analyze, perhaps, that have gone the period of 40, 50 years till death, you'd find that in that marriage there's good communication. And on the contrary, in my observation and the limited interactions that I perhaps have had, one of the major problems that we have today that is resulting in the deteriorating of marriages is people not communicating effectively. So whatever position we find ourselves in, whether we're married for a few years or for a long period, there's always the opportunity to improve the way we communicate and understand each other in a better manner. There's always that opportunity. And when we're talking of communication, basically as a human being, we have our feelings, our thoughts, and to be able to express that and to convey that in a manner that is understood by the opposite party. And when the opposite party speaks, to listen and to be attentive and to grasp that. There's a vast difference between hearing something and actually listening. And the cell phone has become a major hindrance, that you speak to people these days, they nod as though they are approving what you're saying, but they have absolutely no idea what you've just uttered because they're so engrossed in the cell phone. And that is the right of the person in front of you, especially within your own, you know, those that are in your intimate circle and your spouse, to be able to be listened to and to be appreciated. Now, we find that there are a number of things that affect our communication. As human beings, we need to realize that men and women communicate differently. They have a different idea of how they express the idea, their thoughts, their emotions, what they're experiencing. So sometimes we misunderstand. I'll give you a typical example. So you come home, you're tired, everything has gone wrong at the work, it's been a tough day. And you come home, and the first thing that, as you walk in the house, what does your wife say? She says, you know what? The maid burnt my cloak again. The new cloak that I bought from Joburg. And your immediate reaction would be, fire her. Get rid of her. We don't need her. But that may not be the answer to the situation. All she wants is someone to listen to her and to understand her plight. Because if you fly her, especially at this time of the year, then what will happen the next day? She'll have to do all the work herself. She'll be even more tired at the end of the day. So at that moment, all she really needs is for you to listen, to digest and to understand what she's saying, to appreciate what she's saying. Many times what happens is we go about, what we do is we trivialize. We say, no, that's nothing serious. So if it is hot for someone, you can say 100 times that, no, it's not hot. But if that person is feeling hot, then that person is feeling hot. By you saying it's not hot, it's not going to change. So similarly, if you trivialize someone else's plight, you're then undermining that person. You're undermining the person, you're undermining the feelings, which is important. Or sometimes what we do is we then, you know, overshadow. You think what you're going through is difficult. You know what my parents went through? My mother, for 30 years, she had no domestic help. So we then challenge that, or we try to overshadow what she is experiencing. And at that time, these are things that create negative you know, aspects around how we communicate with one another. And that is why it's so important that every successful marriage that you will look into, you'll find that there's a very close bond and close connection in how they go about communicating within that marriage. And an important thing that we as men need to particularly learn is how to control our emotion. We, with the first slightest provocation or prompting, we respond immediately to that. But what is essential for us is to learn to control our emotion and not to respond to every provocation, every utterance, every statement. To be completely in control of your emotion, that you don't respond. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once in his home, and he had many spouses. So he was in the home of Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And he was sitting with some companions and he was waiting for the food to be prepared by her, which there was no problem in the fact that the food was not yet prepared. He was waiting patiently for that. In the interim, one of the co-wives of Ummul Mu'min said, Aisha, Ummi Salama, what she thought to herself, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is waiting for food, let me send for him some food very quickly so that he doesn't wait for the food. So she sent some food to the house. Now, just picture the scenario. We know the competition that you have between siblings or between in-laws. Now, you can imagine what is the competition between co-wives. Here you have the messenger in one particular wife's house and another wife sends food to that house. Can you imagine? So, Ummul Mu'mineen, Ummi Salama radiallahu anha, sends food to the home of Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And while she's still preparing the food, she's unaware. And when she turns around and she sees the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam eating from the food that was sent from her co-wife's home, she is gripped by a moment. So what she does is she grabs that plate of food and she throws it on the ground and it splats and it breaks. The food splashes all over, the entire utensil breaks. Now, here's the situation. How do you respond? This is the same messenger who says, don't break a dish, don't waste food. This is his core teachings that we all know about. Here is a dish that is broken, the food has been wasted. But how does he respond? His immediate reaction is he starts smiling and he says, "Gharat ummuk," that your mother has been gripped by a moment of feminine jealousy. And then he himself starts picking up the leftover and gathering the utensils. And then eventually what he does is he takes a utensil from the home of Ummul Mu'min Sayyida Aisha and he sends it to the home of Ummi Salama and he says, "Ina'an makana ina'in," that you broke her utensil, so now we've got to replace that. He defused what could have been a potentially catastrophical situation where for us perhaps, na'udhu billah, three talaqs wouldn't be enough. But he, with his composure, with the calmness, he defused that situation. And that is what we need to learn at that moment. That when there's a provocation, when something happens, when your wife says, when she challenges you and say, "Give me my talaqs," and a young boy goes and he says, "Okay, I'll give it to you, I'll show you." But what is she really saying? She's saying that, "Show me that you love me so much that you won't even think of giving me my talaqs." That is what she's saying. That is what she's telling you, but we don't understand how they communicate, and that's why we fall for it. And so many times we have a situation where people then utter words that they regret, which is irreparable damage that is done. And we need to be sensitive to the emotion. We think that, you know, it's manly to stamp your authority, to come in, to show an angry face, to disregard, that if I, you know, am sympathetic to her emotions, then I'm being unmanly, and that will may put me in a weak situation. It will diminish my position. I need to come in the home, shout, scream, and when I come, everybody knows that the male of the house, or the father, or the husband is here. Everybody must be on their guard. The lion is within his den. But that wasn't the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was sympathetic to the emotions of his wives. On one occasion, while Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling, and it was the turn of Ummul Mu'mineen Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, what had happened was, each one had their own day when they would be with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was this entourage, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went ahead and he reached his destination. And when he came there, Safiya radiallahu ta'ala had come later on. And as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was waiting to receive her, That is, you know, the compassion that he was waiting to receive her. As he was waiting to receive her, yet the mother of the believer is crying. She's weeping. And she says, "Hamaltani ala ba'irin bati'in," that you put me deliberately on a slow camel. Now it was her day to be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she was crying because by being on a slow camel, her opportunity to spend time with the Messenger was limited. That now, because she came later on, she had less time to spend with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So she was crying. She said, "Hamaltani ala ba'irin bati'in," that you put me on a slow camel. At that moment, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that he welcomed her. "Faja'ala yusit to her." He tried to calm her down. He himself wiped her tears off. What would we say? You know, how childish are you? That you're crying because you didn't spend time with me? I mean, come, grow up, get a life. You can't be so, you know, childish and so immature. That is what our response would have been. We think now, you know, time, this is essentially time that a wife wanted with her husband and she didn't get it and it brought her to tears. So these are realities. And what we need to understand within the marriage is that there are various elements that make a good marriage, and for us to continue to invest within our marriages, that there's an interesting book that is titled The Five Languages of Love. And for every person, if you genuine, if you serious, if you want to build on your marriage, and the more you invest in it, the more greater joy and fulfillment it will give you. So there are five languages of love that they speak about. The first is, and you need to understand that, you know, sometimes you think that, but I'm doing so much for you, I praise you so often, but that's not the person's language of love. So there are five languages of love, meaning that love is displayed within a marriage in five ways. For some people, their language of love is words of affirmation. So the moment your wife prepares for you a beautiful dish, a tasty dish, to praise her, to compliment her for that, that perhaps is one way of displaying love, which is words of affirmation. The second language of love is to exchange gifts. So that is something that other people appreciate. And the Messenger ﷺ said, "Tahada tahabba." By exchanging gifts, you then build and continue to build your love, and it strengthens relationship. Another language of love is to acts of service. That when you render an act of service, like you come home and your food is ready, the wife has prepared it, that is an act of service which is done for you. And some people appreciate that. Then the other language of love is the physical touch, which is, you know, the physical gesture or affection, displaying of affection. When the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into his home, and we look at all the books of hadith, what was the first thing he did before entering the home? It was, he did miswak, he cleaned his mouth, and that was left, that, you know, it set the tone. It explains us that there's a degree of ambiguity, but leaves you to imagine that why would he be cleaning his mouth when he entered the home? There's something, there's a reason for that. So that is the affectionate touch. So these are the different ways we need to understand that you continue giving your wife gifts, and you think maybe you did something wrong or there was some misunderstanding. You give her a gift, but that may not be her language of love. What may be her language of love is that you have quality time with her. That you spend time together, even if it is cooking a meal together or spending time in the garden or going to the beach together. So for every one of us, part of building your relationship and understanding each other's emotional needs is also to understand what language of love do you speak and what is your spouse's language of love. Remember, good communication in a marriage is a life skill. It's a life skill that you need to develop, and it's a daily choice that you have to make. It's the cornerstone of all good marriages, and it's a continuous process. It's not something that you're going to walk out here and say, "Ah, you know, that was a good message that the Maulana gave, I know, and that's it." It's something that you need to keep in front of you, and you need to build on it all the time. And that is how you will build, have this good skills that will communicate and build your bond in marriage and save many of the marriages. May Allah grant this particular marriage and all marriages love, affection, and compatibility, understanding, and let that be the hallmark of good communication in all marriages. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khalqi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.